الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers, and mothers and sisters that may be listening from home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our nourisher, our cherisher, and we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Qur'an Majeed that certain aspects of this worldly life have been made beautiful and attractive to people. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ Beautified for people is the love of desires. What are these desires? They are women, they are children, they are heaped up sums of gold and silver, branded horses, cultivation lands, different types of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made attractive. And in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain broad categories. But it refers to all of these attractions of the world. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Those are the items, the lowly items of the life of this world. So under the commentary of this verse, ulama explain that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these attractions, these articles of the dunya, why did He make the heart of insan attracted towards them? The first is that is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we live in a world of means. The system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out requires us to earn, to buy, to spend, to consume. So if man did not have this desire for material possessions of this world, he would have absolutely no inclination to go out, to work, to earn and to trade. But because man has recognized that this is a world of means, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the love of these material items in the heart of man, you will find that somebody will go out and toil in the fields, exercise his labor. A businessman will employ his capital and he will buy and he will sell. And so the economy of this world will continue. The second reason ulama mention is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these attractions so that there is something that also attracts us to in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions similar blessings, that there will be gold, there will be silver, there will be ease, there will be comfort, there will be woman, pure woman in the life of the hereafter. And so we can relate to these things because of our attraction to similar items in this dunya. So if man did not have this, then perhaps he would not have been spurred on to do good actions in this dunya and thereby earn his Jannah. And the third and the most significant one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this nature within us that we are attracted to these items, the beautification of the life of this world, so that He may test us. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that verily we have made certain things on this earth beautiful to you, attractive to you. Why? So we can test which one of you, which one of them are best in action. Meaning that how many of you are able to navigate through despite these desires and the pull of the nafs and control themselves from becoming overindulgent and consuming these items of the dunya, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us great rewards in the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the items of this world attractive to human beings. Firstly, because they are a means of our survival in this world. We need them to survive. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world. Secondly, because it helps us to and encourages us to work towards similar benefits in the life of the hereafter. Although these benefits are nothing compared to what we will get in Jannah, but it helps us, it spurs us on. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this so that He can test which of us is best in our actions. But at the same time, if we do not control our attraction to these material items in this dunya, then we will have a great amount of destruction. There will be destruction in our deen, and there will be destruction in our dunya. We find throughout the world that people are seeking contentment and happiness. Yet, despite this, they have so much of wealth. The progress has increased so much in the last 50 to 100 years, yet you find that people are less content than they were before. There's a study that has been conducted in America over a period of more than 5 decades, where they assessed the level of happiness of people, and they found that particularly from the late 80s right till now, even though the material possessions of people have increased, wealth is increased, consumption has increased, people are leading a better quality of life, but happiness and contentment has decreased significantly. There is another study that has been conducted by the Harvard University, wherein they assessed 4 types of spending of a person. One is to spend to buy items, consumer items, watches, phones, clothes. The second was spending to buy time, meaning we outsource some of our tasks, like here in South Africa, we hire a help in our homes to assist us so that we have more free time. So that was the second class of spending. The third class of spending was to buy experiences, to go with family on holidays, different parts of the world, to buy an experience. And the last form of spending was to spend on others for the benefit of friends, for the benefit of the poor. And the outcome of the study found that most people believed that the first category of spending would bring them the greatest amount of happiness. The first form of spending, that is to buy consumer items, they believed that it would bring them the most amount of happiness. But in reality, the results showed that the last 3 categories of spending actually brought the most amount of happiness. So when we buy consumer items, we may think that we are increasing our happiness and our contentment, but in reality, this is not the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the heart of an old person remains young with regards to the love of 2 things. The heart of an old person remains young with the love of 2 things. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that this only applies to the old people, it applies to everybody. But it's there to indicate to us that if it's alive in the old people, then most certainly it will be alive amongst the young people. Because the old person is closer to his qabr, he's closer to the akhirah. What are these 2 things? Hubbul aish wal mal. Love for life, to prolong one's life, and love for wealth. Now, what is the antidote? What is something that we can use to combat this love that has been placed in our hearts for the material items of the world? Hubbush shahawat, all these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. What is the antidote? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the prescription, and he has mentioned that laysa al-ghina ghina an kathrati al-arad, that wealth, true wealth, is not in the accumulation of lots of material items and wealth. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. I'm paraphrasing the translation. But true happiness, contentment, true richness is in richness of the heart, richness of the soul. True wealth and richness is not found in accumulating lots of material items, but rather true happiness, true contentment, true richness and wealth is found in the heart. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. That person is successful. Who is the successful one? The one who has brought Islam, he has submitted, and then he has been given sufficient in terms of his risk. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. He has been given sufficient, meaning he doesn't have too much, he doesn't have too little. And whichever state he is in, maybe he might be given a little bit less, but he has this added advantage of contentment. وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with contentment with whatever he has given him. So what is this contentment? The word قَنِعَ يَقْنَعُ, which means literally to be happy, to be contented, to be satisfied. In Sharia it means to be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. To be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Now under the commentary of these ahadith, the muhaddithin have explained that there are different views around who is the most virtuous person. Is the poor person more virtuous? Or is the rich person more virtuous? Or is the one who is in between, as we would term today, middle class, more virtuous? So some ulama are of the opinion that the poor person is more virtuous because he is following the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Majority of the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that they were poor, financially poor. Other ulama are of the opinion that that person that is wealthy, that person that has lots of wealth, that person is more virtuous. Why? Because he has the opportunity to engage in so many acts of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can give to makatib, to madaris, he can build masajid. And another group of ulama of the opinion, that that person that has got kafaf, that has got sufficient, as we would term it today, middle income, middle class. He doesn't have extra, too much extra, but at the same time, there's no deficiency in his wealth. They are of the opinion that that person is the most virtuous. Why? Because he is not tested by the fitan, the trial of poverty, and he is not tested by the trial of wealth. You will find that a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has withheld wealth from, then he can also be in a trial. He can also be in difficulty. You might find that that person may more easily sell his deen for a plate of food or for a paycheck at the end of the month. And that person may lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the poverty. So that person is also tested. But it's at the same time, the person that has a lot of wealth, a person that is extremely wealthy, he is also tested, because this person may use this wealth in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over and above all of this, this love of wealth, this love of the material possessions of this worldly life, they can very easily lead us to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when it comes time to monetary dealings, when it comes time to financial dealings, then a person is more likely to give in to the temptation of greed. He's more likely to contravene the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he may increase in his wealth. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah mentions, or he was asked, that you've written so many books, so many different books on different subjects, why have you not written a book on tasawwuf? Why have you not written a book on spiritual rectification? So Imam Muhammad rahimahullah mentions that I have.
I've written a book called Kitabul Buyur. I have written a book on the fiqh of commercial transactions. And let me explain why this is the case, that most people, you will see their true colors, and their real islah will be made when it comes to financial transactions. So this unbridled love of wealth and the unbridled love of the material possessions of this earth, they can lead us to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the antidote to this, the antidote, that which can help to restrain us from exceeding the bounds when it comes to these material possessions, is the antidote of contentment, the antidote of qana'ah, the antidote of being happy with the distribution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi would often mention the explanation of Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullah, that our relationship with this world is like a boat that is in the water. The boat needs to travel through the water to be able to go from one side to the other. But the water needs to remain outside of the boat. The water needs to remain outside of the boat for the boat to be safe and successful. No sooner does the water come into the boat, than the boat will begin to sink. In the same way, we have to be in this dunya. It's a world of means. But this love of wealth has to remain outside our hearts. When the love of wealth comes into our hearts, then we will begin to sink in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. So how do we bring about contentment in our lives? The first thing is that we have to understand our purpose on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created man and jinn kind except that they should worship me. This is our objective. We have not been placed on this earth to accumulate wealth, to accumulate different types of articles of this dunya. Yes, we will have to have some of them to be able to go through, like that ship. But this is not our objective. This is not what we have been sent down for. Umar radiallahu an once came upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he found that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting, and when he woke up, he found that there were marks from the straw mat on which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting. And Umar radiallahu an began to cry, and he became extremely disappointed. And he mentions that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kings of Persia and the Byzantine Empire, they have got so many palaces. They have got so many material items of this worldly life. You are the master of all masters on this earth. You are the leader of all of mankind, the best of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And yet you are in this condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ibn al-Khattab, O Umar, you have not understood the reality of the life of this dunya. Those people, those disbelievers have been given all of these blessings, and they are consuming their blessings in the life of this world. But when it comes to the hereafter, there will only be a painful punishment for them. We are such that maybe we have not been given those comforts in this world, but this is not our objective. Our objective is the akhirah. And we add to that, that very often we look around us and we find that the disbelievers and those who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they appear to have many, many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Shafi Sahib, under the commentary of the ayat of riba, mentions that those are the articles of comfort. They are not comfort themselves. Those are the articles of contentment. They do not actually bring about contentment. Mufti Saab mentions, and this was in the 1970s, that studies have shown that in the United States, more than 70% of the population cannot go to sleep without sleeping pills. So you can buy the best home, you can have the best mattress, but you are unable to buy sleep. This is true contentment. The second thing that we need to bring within our lives is we need to understand that our rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That don't extend your eyes. Don't look towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to everybody else. The beauty that He has given, the wealth, all of the articles of comfort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to certain groups. Don't extend your eyes to that. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That risk that comes from your Lord, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better and it is more everlasting. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ. That which is with you, the articles of this dunya, that is temporary, it's going to terminate. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But that which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better and it is more everlasting. The third thing that we should do is that we should look at those who are lower than us. When it comes to our material aspects, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum," that you should look at those who are below you when it comes to matters of dunya, and you should not look at those who are above you. Why? Because when you look at those who are above you, then you will disparage, you will think low of the ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. A very great antidote. And we find today this is something that is really lacking in our lives and a community as a whole. We'll see that somebody has bought a new vehicle and immediately our eyes go to that vehicle. And we begin to think about whether we can afford that vehicle. And we compare that vehicle to our vehicle. Or we see somebody that is going on an overseas trip or is going for Hajj and Umrah, and immediately we ask, but how is that person going? How is that person going? He doesn't earn so much of money. Can I go? Can I do that? Sometimes we might be traveling, and as we go through the plane, and you board the plane, you know, they intentionally make you board through business class. They intentionally, although there's doors in the back of the plane, when you board, you must board and you must go through business class, so you can see what you're missing out on. When you enter the plane, you can see what you're missing out on. And when you leave the plane, you see that which you missed out on. Why? So that you begin to think that I would also like to spend on this. We don't have to look far. We look at our technology. You buy a phone today, 20, 25, 30,000 rands. Hardly a month goes by and that phone is already outdated. 1 year goes by and we need to upgrade to the next phone. We need to upgrade to the next car. We need to upgrade to the next job. We need to look for something that is giving us a higher pay. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That person is successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. That person that is given sufficient. His eyes are not always looking towards other people's wealth and what is around him. And unfortunately today, we find that social media, marketing, advertising, their job is to attract us to buy those things which we don't need, and more often, those things which we can't afford. We are attracted to buy those things that we don't need, and those things that we can't afford. And this is very prevalent on social media. If you go and you Google something, you Google a pair of shoes, and then you go onto a social media platform, you find that all of a sudden adverts for different types of shoes come up, because they're talking to each other. And they're attracting you towards buying those things that you don't need and those things that you cannot afford. So in conclusion, respected elders and brothers, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the articles and the beautification of this worldly life attractive to us. This is part of our natural disposition. We are attracted to it. And there are reasons which we discussed. But the antidote to make sure that we don't overstep the bounds, that we are not continually chasing, that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we do not go into those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram in pursuit of worldly things, is for us to bring qana'ah, to bring contentment in our lives. What is contentment? Contentment is for us to be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And how do we bring this contentment in our lives? A few points that we discussed. Firstly, we remind ourselves of our true purpose on this dunya. We are here for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not here to accumulate the wealth of this dunya. Yes, we recognize that we have to live here, and it is a world of means. And to the extent that we require it, we will acquire it. To the extent that we require it, we will acquire it. then we should make sure that we do not extend our eyes to those things that people around us have. When it comes to dunyawi matters, we should look at those who are lower than us, those who have less than us, so that we do not think low of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And in conclusion, there is a beautiful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in different ahadith that we should try and make on a daily basis. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. O Allah, grant me contentment with that which you have provided me with. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. If we can't say it in Arabic, we should make this dua in English daily. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. O Allah, grant me contentment in that which you have provided me with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.